CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The Bank of England, hiking rates to contain inflation, goes the headline from Reuters. The Bank of England raised interest rates by 0.5%, and nearly half of its policymakers wanted a bigger increase to contain rampant price pressures called cost of living in Great Britain, as the British Central Bank warned inflation will soon top 7%. The additional news is that the pound, the English pound, jumped against the U.S. dollar. This is a positive direction. Is it a harbinger of the future for the United States and for the European Central Bank? I welcome Véronique de Rugy of the Mercatus Center. Véronique, there are the questions. The Bank of England has moved the second hike in a row by Andrew Bailey, the governor of the Bank of England. Is this what will happen for the United States when and if the Federal Reserve moves? Is this what Christine Lagarde, the head of the European Central Bank, intends, to raise rates to contain inflation, and it will strengthen the dollar and the euro? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. At this point, I don't see how any of the central banks can not raise inflation. I mean, it seems interest rates, sorry. I mean, obviously, the U.S. has already announced that it's going to. Christine Lagarde just gave made an announcement that was slightly more hawkish, but I just don't see how she's going to be able to not, she's going to not be, have to raise interest rates. I think interest rate increases are in everyone's future. It's just inevitable. The question is how many and how high? That's the only question that remains.
The additional Reuters story provides drama. Central banks are dramatic. In a surprise split decision, four of the nine members of the Monetary Policy Committee wanted to raise interest rates by 0.5 percentage point to 0.75. It has been at near zero in what would have been the biggest increase in borrowing costs since the BOE became operationally independent. There is talk here of 0.5 point, isn't there? And is it possible that 0.5 point, 0.5 point now, 0.5 point soon enough, will that answer the inflation story? Is that a solution that you favor?
I mean, they're going to have to increase interest rates. So there's a debate about how much rates, how high a rate needs to, the rates need to go to basically send a signal that the Federal Reserve is serious about controlling inflation. It's hard for me to believe that even after three small increases where real interest rates are still going to be in negative territory, that this is going to be sending a signal that's strong enough. But who knows? Depending on who you're talking to, you know, the Taylor rule requires interest rates that are much higher than this to then bring inflation back to 2%. But who knows, with the interest rate increase and the tapering and hawkish talk on the part of the Fed, this may do it. But I'm just kind of, I don't like to make prediction, but I am on the skeptical side.
And right now it would favor everyone if the interest rates were raised and the inflation was solved, or at least answered, or slowed down. Britain seems alarmed, and we read the British headlines. European Central Banker Lagarde seems alarmed. Why aren't they moving now? Why not move ahead of time? I think they have the power to do that. What are they waiting for?
So listen, it's the same problem that we have here, right? I mean, it's a difficult situation to be in, because there's no soft lending when you truly have inflation. There's really, unlike the inflation that we see, and by the way, we shouldn't be confusing just some increase in prices because, let's say, the ports are clogged, right? That's an increase in relative prices. That's not inflation. But when you have really all prices going up and wages due to inflation, the only way you can really achieve the squash inflation is really effectively by doing things that are going to be slowing down the economy. And that's why they're dragging their feet. That is why they're dragging their feet. And that's why the Federal Reserve is hoping that by promising as opposed to acting tough, like giving speeches that promises that they're serious about inflation, that is going to have the effect of having people believe that we're not going to have inflation, and also maybe they're buying out time to get out of the pandemic, to get rid of some of our supply problems, and also of all of that money, that stimulus money, to actually run its course through the economy. But that's why there is, just because they know what they have to do is going to be painful economically, at least there will be some pain.
Another story that comes at me, and I want to know if there's something to be done now, because it's being repeated, $30 trillion debt. And you tell me the majority of it is short term. Is that something that can be addressed by Washington, or is that one of those stories like weather? Everybody talks about it. Nobody can do anything.
Well, I mean, they could always try to figure out and make the majority of the debt, instead of buying. Here is exactly the number. We have the $30 trillion is our gross debt. It's the whole debt. It's the part that the government owes to the public. That's $24 trillion. And then the $6 trillion is what it owes to other account of the government, like Social Security, right? Of the $24 trillion, 25% of that debt is as a maturity of less than a year. So it means that every single year, the Federal Reserve has to sell $6 trillion in bonds and to basically borrow, get $6 trillion from people in order to repay short-term investors, which have to be repaid at this time. And then it goes on and on. And then I think it's like 65% is as a maturity of less than 4 years. What it could do each time it sells, it actually sells some bonds, it could make them have a maturity that's longer. Of course, that requires, that may be pricier, but it's a way to basically get out of this really spiral of having so much of our debt that is short term, because one of the costs of inflation, which can be addressed by raising interest rate, is that interest payment on our debt then go up. And when you have so much short term debt, effectively what you have is you can have an inflation crisis that turns very quickly into a fiscal crisis.
The solutions are, you've identified the solutions. The will is not there because it would slow the economy. Is that why the hesitation, and that we'll take the risk?
I think the hesitation about raising the rates, I mean, they're probably twofold. They're one, because it would slow down the economy, and that's just not popular. And the other one is because, it will have a real fiscal cost. Right? We're not talking about a fiscal crisis, but it will have a fiscal cost, right? Keeping interest rates low is honestly first and foremost to the benefit of the federal government, because it means that interest on the debt is really low. And trying to not raise interest rates is one way to actually try to control that growing debt that we have.
Is Christine Lagarde see this same picture? She knows that she has to move on interest rates. We have 30 seconds.
Well, I can't talk for her, but if there's inflation, there's not tons of ways to go about it. And she's going to have to move. I don't think the Europeans have the same short-term debt problem that we have, though. I think their exposure is not as short-term, but I'm not sure, but I think.
Véronique de Rougier of the Mercatus Center. The Bank of England has moved. The European Central Bank indicates it wants to move. The Federal Reserve Bank has not moved yet. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.